Mateen versus Holder, Ms. Sadiq.
Thank you. May it please the Court, my name is Sadia Sadiq and I represent Mr. Mateen in this case. Your Honors, we're here today because there are many troubling aspects to this case which we believe would permit this Court to exercise and find that there is jurisdiction. Most troubling of all was with respect to the fact of whether or not the Board even considered any of the evidence that Mr. Mateen presented in this case.
I'm curious about this. Isn't he a Canadian citizen?
He is a Canadian citizen, yes.
Why can't he move back to Canada rather than Pakistan?
Well, I think one of the big factors is that his children are not Canadian citizens. They're U.S. citizens. And
they wouldn't let him bring his kids with him?
I don't know that, Your Honor. The country of removal which he designated was Pakistan.
Well, he designated it as?
Yes.
As Pakistan.
He designated Pakistan, and then the court upheld Pakistan also as the country of removal. And presumably, I did not represent him below, but presumably he did that because both he and his wife are Pakistani citizens, and so therefore the children would be permitted to return to Pakistan. Whether or not an application for Canadian resident status, landed immigrant status, was ever made on behalf of the children for to go to Canada, we just don't know that. That's not part of the record. But I guess what's troubling about this case is the Board's use of the phrase in drawing its conclusion that there was no continuous physical presence, that remainder of the evidence proffered. Those are their quotes. And there was absolutely no analysis done on any of that other evidence. So the one piece of evidence which we submit they just simply reacted to was the Canadian citizenship application. But they never balanced that evidence, that application, against any of his other evidence. And there was no testimony taken after that Canadian citizenship application was submitted. And again, if you look at the record, that application was submitted after Mr. Mateen had testified, even after the government had put on their witness, and then the judge had requested it, sort of almost as clarification for his position, and then at the final hearing, he drew the conclusion that he was going to accept that Canadian citizenship application to discern the fact that Mr. Mateen had no continuous physical presence. So essentially by then, the board saying, in their own opinion, that just remainder of the evidence, they're basically rubber stamping a decision and not going into any analysis here. Had they gone into some analysis, yes, we would not be before this court, because what evidence and what weight they are to give that analysis is to their discretion. We understand that. But at least let us know that you did conduct some analysis of his facts. And we're not asking for the laundry list of those as well. We point out in our brief 7-8 pieces of what we believe compelling objective evidence. Not one of those was mentioned. And that's the part where we believe Mr. Mateen was then therefore denied his due process right. And there is a liberty interest at stake here, because had the board considered the evidence on the continuous physical presence, the manner in which it was given, we believe that the outcome concerning that would be different here. Similarly, the outcome concerning whether or not there's extreme and unusual hardship would also be different, because the board did the same thing there. They just said, well, actually the board just said, we're not going to that analysis, so we're left to look at the IJ's decision. But the IJ's opinion has absolutely no reference to credible letters from hospitals in Karachi, Pakistan, saying they've never treated a child or a patient with Hirschsprung's disease, which, you know, we would submit is the type of illness that clearly Congress had intent when they established the extreme and unusual hardship standard.
Well, that's, of course, part of the perplexing thing, right? And, you know, we hear a lot of criticism Canada's medical treatment versus the United States, but why would they put Pakistan as the place they want to, if you're going to be deported, that's where you're going to go?
Well, that's again what Mr. Mateen had designated. And after it came out that, yes, he is a Canadian citizen. We're not disputing that fact. The IJ concurred and also designated Pakistan as the country of removal.
Well,
so
he designated that thinking the kids wouldn't go with him or something? If we're going to bring it up, even though the board didn't deal with it, so technically we're fine with the board said, but just a curiosity, why would he, if his child needs specific medical care, maybe it's only available in the United States, but surely apparently not available in Pakistan. So I don't know what his
rationale for designated Canada would be vis-a-vis the extreme and unusual hardship standard. I just don't know that, Your Honor.
Especially if they're American citizens in Canada, it'd be more proximate. We don't know.
They are American citizens, aren't they?
The children are American citizens. All four of them are.
Yeah, it makes it so puzzling. Canada would be happy to have American citizens plus their own citizen. I don't get that. Huh? Don't Americans immigrate freely to Canada?
Yes, there's no visa. There's a visa waiver for Canada and U.S. citizens. But again, the children are not Canadian citizens. We don't even know if they're landed immigrants yet, so presumably they have to go through that step first before they would be permitted to go to Canada. And
all I can
deduce also is that the child has been...
I don't understand how a citizen of a country would not be permitted to bring a child in.
What about the wife?
If the child was a citizen of another country, it seems very strange.
Right. The wife, again, I don't want to misspeak here, but I believe she's a landed immigrant of Canada, but I don't believe she's a Canadian citizen. And the fact that she's been in the United States for an extensive period of time, I don't know Canadian law, but to me would presume that she no longer has landed immigrant status, that she's given that up essentially by her absences. So then you just have Mr. Mateen, who's a Canadian citizen, and then the wife and, of course, the children are not. Mm-hmm. And then just if I may, I know that we were given a short period of time, but I just also want to mention that as far as the board's decision and what it does and does not address, they also did not address anything with respect to the discretionary aspect. So to say that we're foreclosed from jurisdiction because ultimately, yes, the IJ said he would also deny the application as a matter of discretion, we don't know if the board adopted that finding as well. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Sadiq. Ms. Walters?
Thank you. May it please the Court, Tiffany Walters for respondent, the United States Attorney General. Mateen seeks review of the agency's determination that he failed to demonstrate continuous physical presence and good moral character for cancellation of removal. However, in Sevilla and Leguizamo Medina, this court has held that it lacks jurisdiction to review these determinations.
Do you have any idea why he wants to go back to Pakistan rather than to Canada?
I have no idea. There was some discussion on the record going back and forth initially. I believe the attorney designated Canada, and then it was switched. I mean, it was entirely his preference and his choice. And the immigration judge mentioned some confusion over this and that perhaps this medical care would be available in Canada. So even though it might not be as accessible in Pakistan, there's other options available. Regardless, the court would need to find either a legal question or a constitutional issue to review this claim. And the purported legal question that petitioner raises is that the agency failed to consider his evidence entirely regarding his continuous physical presence in the United States. In reality, the immigration judge and the board both mentioned that there is evidence that he presented. Nonetheless, the evidence from the Canadian citizenship documents indicates that he declared in order to obtain his Canadian citizenship that he was present in Canada for 1,111 days in the 4 years prior to his 2000 application for Canadian citizenship. It's absolutely impossible that he could have been in two places at once, that he could have been present in the United States, accruing this 10 years of continuous physical presence that he would need for cancellation of removal, as well as in Canada, accruing this continuous physical presence that he required for citizenship. So the fact that the agency chose to look at the evidence before it and credit DHS's evidence regarding his Canadian citizenship over his evidence of presence in the United States is a weighing of the evidence that the court lacks jurisdiction to review, not a legal question. As to the constitutional claims, petitioner lacks liberty interest. This court held in Sevilla that there is no liberty interest in the discretionary denial of cancellation of removal. Even if he had established continuous physical presence, even if he had established good moral character, it's still a discretionary determination. And finally, as to the issue of the review of the extreme hardship, the board found it unnecessary to reach that issue, and because the board found it unnecessary to reach that issue, it's not before this court on appeal. Because the court lacks jurisdiction and petitioners failed to raise a legal or constitutional issue that this court can review, a respondent would request that the court dismiss the petition for review.
Okay.
No further questions? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Walters. Ms. Sadiq, do you have anything further? Okay, well, thank you very much. And thank you to both counsel. And the court will be in recess. Thank you.